The Senate will please come to order. Roll call.
Roll call for Tuesday, March 1st. Anderson?
Here.
Barnard? Bebout?
Here.
Boner?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Case?
Present.
Christensen?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
Kraft?
Here.
Dockstetter?
Here.
Driscoll?
Here.
Emmerich?
Here.
Escobel?
Here.
Geis?
Here.
Hastert?
Here.
Hicks?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Kinski?
Here.
Landon? Meyer,
here.
Pappas,
here.
Perkins,
here.
Peterson,
here.
Ross,
here.
Rothfuss,
here.
Scott,
here.
Von Fladern,
here.
Wasserberger,
here.
Barnard,
on to here.
President Nicholas,
here.
30 present.
Reverend Frank, would you please lead us in the prayer?
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for another day and the beauty of your creation. And as we gather here today, we come before you to ask for your assistance, that you would give us wisdom and guidance, direction for all of the things before us, that as we make decisions that impact today and tomorrow, we would also have an awareness of the impact down the road for the future. And we recognize that you're the only one who can help us with that. And so we cry to you to give us that guidance and direction. We pray over all of the members, their families, their staffs, that God, you would protect, that you would just bless. And so today, as we open ourselves up to your blessing, we pray that you would pour that out upon us, that today would be a good day, that we could serve you, serve this state. And we thank you for that privilege. And we pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Play ball. Would the reading clerk please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 29, 2016 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Wasserberger, Chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Doctor of the Day, Dr. John Healy from Cheyenne, welcome. Thank you for being here. Everybody, welcome up. There's no nurse of the day, and today in Wyoming history, 1872, Congress authorized creation of Yellowstone National Park. They're just two parcels away from making it whole. We'll deal with confirmations later today. I think we have one more interview before we do that. We're at that order of business. Oh, today is day 17 of the proposed 20-day session. We're getting towards the end. It's the last day for second reading of the bills on the second house. Tomorrow is the last day for third reading on the bills in the second house. We do have messages from House.
From the House of Representatives, February 29, 2016, message number 229, Joint Conference Committee report adopted. Mr. President, the House adopted the Joint Conference Committee No. 1 report on Senate File 1, General Government Appropriations, by the vote indicated. Ayes 38, noes 20, excused 2. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk. The following messages are all third reading passed from the House of Representatives, February 29, 2016. Mr. President, Senate File Number 4, Military Service Member Protections, passed the House on third reading by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, excused 2. Mr. President, the bill, Senate File Number 20, Sales and Use Tax Remedy Revisions, passed the House on third reading by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, excused 2. Mr. President, Senate File Number 44, Obsolete Statutory Language Health Care, passed the House on third reading by the vote indicated. Ayes 57, noes 1, excused 2. Mr. President, Senate File Number 89, Workers' Compensation, Time for Requesting Hearing, passed the House on third reading by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, excused 2. Mr. President, Senate File Number 90, passed the House on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 90 is Lifetime Game and Fish Licenses Purple Heart Recipients. Ayes 57, noes 1, excused 2. The following messages from the House of Representatives are concurrence requested February 29, 2016. Message number 213, Mr. President, Senate File Number 3, Permissive Preference for Veterans in Private Employment, passed on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, excused 2. Message number 217, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 31, Omnibus Water Bill Planning, passed the House on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, excused 2. Mr. President, Senate File Number 28, Carbon Capture Storage and Sequestration Permit, passed on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Ayes 48, noes 10, excused 2. Message number 218, Mr. President, Senate File 34, Uniform Fiduciary Access to Digital Assets Act, passed on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, excused 2. Message number 220, Mr. President, Senate File Number 62, Homemade Beverages, passed the House on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Ayes 57, noes 1, excused 2. Message number 221, Mr. President, Senate File Number 65, Patent Trolling, passed on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, excused 2. Message number 222, Mr. President, Senate File Number 75, Criminal Trespass to Collect Data Amendments, passed on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Ayes 52, noes 6, excused 2. Message number 225, Mr. President, Senate File Number 37, Boards and Commissions, Party Affiliation, passed on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Ayes 48, noes 10, excused 2. From the House of Representatives, February 29, 2016, concurrence failed. Message number 226. Mr. President, the House failed to concur on Senate amendments to House Bill number 21, State Public Purpose Investments Revisions. Ayes 3, noes 55, excused 2. Concurrence passed. Message number 227, Mr. President, the House did concur on Senate amendments to House Bill number 60, State Health Facility Missions Statutory Compliance, ayes 54, noes 5, excused 1. Concurrence passed. Mr. President, the House did concur on Senate amendments to House Bill number 63, Healthcare Facility Receivership Act, ayes 54, noes 4, excused 2. Message number 230, Committee of the Whole indefinitely postponed. Mr. President, the House adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing Senate File Number 102, Federal Funds Distribution, by the vote indicated. Ayes 10, noes 47, excused 3. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Message number 232, conferees appointed, joint Conference Committee Number 1, Mr. President, the Speaker appointed the House conferees to meet with a like committee number 1 from the Senate on amendments to Senate File 57. The House conferees are Representative Larson, Chairman, Representative Barlow, and Representative Dayton. Message number 233, conferees appointed, Joint Conference Committee Number 1. Mr. President, the Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with a like committee number 1 from the Senate on amendments to Senate File 45. The House conferees are Representative Harvey, Chairman, Representative Kasprick, and Representative Summers. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
That order of business is signing enrolled acts. Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Before we sign enrolled acts, may I have the privilege of the floor?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to welcome, we've got about five students over here from the Cathedral Home over in Laramie with their teacher, Drew Seidel. I hope the Senate can welcome them and wish them a best time here with the Senate. Thank you.
Welcome. Enrolled Act number 14.
House of Representatives, Enrolled Act number 14, being Original House Bill 108, an act relating to corporations, partnerships, and associations.
I'm about ready to sign House Enrolled Act number 14, being Original House Bill number 108. I've so signed. House Bill number 67, Enrolled Act number 15.
House Enrolled Act number 15, being Original House Bill 67, an act relating to taxation and revenue.
I'm about ready to sign House Enrolled Act number 15, being Original House Bill number 67. I so signed. House Enrolled Act number 16.
House Enrolled Act number 16, being Original House Bill 66, an act relating to motor vehicles.
I'm about ready to sign House Enrolled Act number 16, being Original House Bill number 66. So signed. House Enrolled Act number 17.
House Enrolled Act number 17, being Original House Bill number 39, an act relating to motor vehicles.
I'm about ready to sign House Enrolled Act number 17, being Original House Bill 39. I've so signed. House Enrolled Act number 18.
House Enrolled Act number 18, being Original House Bill 35, an act relating to insurance.
I'm about ready to sign House Enrolled Act number 18, being Original House Bill number 35. So signed. House Enrolled Act number 19.
House Enrolled Act number 19, being Original House Bill 60, an act relating to institutions of the state.
I'm about ready to sign House Enrolled Act number 19, being Original House Bill number 60. I've so signed. House Enrolled Act number 20.
House Enrolled Act No. 20, being original House Bill 63, an act relating to hospital and health care facilities.
I'm about ready to sign House Enrolled Act No. 20, being original House Bill No. 63. So signed. House Enrolled Joint Resolution No. 1.
House Enrolled Joint Resolution No. 1, being original House Joint Resolution 4, a joint resolution requesting Congress to seek removal of the gray wolf and gray grizzly bear populations from listing under the Endangered Species Act and to assist in funding programs and services for gray wolf and grizzly bear management.
About ready to sign House Enrolled Joint Resolution No. 1, being original Joint Resolution No. 4. I've so signed. House Enrolled Joint Resolution No. 2, the origins of the jump shot.
House Enrolled Joint Resolution No. 2, being original House Joint Resolution 2, a joint resolution recognizing the contributions of Kenny Sailors to the game of basketball and encouraging his election to the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame.
I'm about ready to sign House Enrolled Joint Resolution No. 2, being original House Joint Resolution No. 2. I so sign.
He shoots, he scores.
All net. Bills on second reading. House Bill No. 6. Second reading of the bill.
House Bill No. 6, Return of Victims' Property Held as Evidence.
We have an amendment. Will the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill No. 6, Second Reading Amendment No. 1 to Engrossed Copy, page 1, line 13.
Senator Perkins, no, Senator, yeah, Senator Perkins. I find you there. Perkins and Christensen, Senate Reading Amendment No. 1 to House Bill 6. Property must be of a victim of a witness.
Or a witness.
You don't really have to make the motion if you don't want to.
Well, Mr. President, I'd move second reading number one to House Bill 6, and it actually and ask the body to vote aye. What it is it's just it's of a victim or a witness, not of a victim of a witness. But it could be the other if you really wanted it to be, Mr. President. We could work on that on third reading amendment. But what this does is just clarifies. My concern as we look at this bill was, and you go back and look at the Bill of Rights, it seems to create an opportunity for others. For individuals to get their property back, and since this is in the Victim's Bill of Rights, and in the subsection just above it, they refer to a victim or a witness, and so I thought by adding some language in there, it'd make it clear. What we don't want is someone who's not a victim or witness to have rights under the Victim or Witness Bill of Rights, and so that's what this does. And I'd ask you support it. Just clarifies that that's who gets to make application to get the property back. Thank you.
Any discussion? The question is on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 6. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That motion has been adopted. We're now on second reading amendment number 2. If the reading clerk would please read in the amendment.
House Bill number 6, second reading amendment number 2 to engrossed copy, page 2, line 2.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 6 and ask for favorable consideration. Mr. President, what this amendment does, when I got to, I was reading this bill and it says that the prosecuting attorney determines, for example, whether to, hold on. Yes, it says the prosecuting attorney shall determine whether the photographs or property are admissible. I thought that really it's the judges that determine whether something's admissible, not prosecuting attorneys. So this deals with that aspect, and it also deals with the aspect that the defense should be consulted on this. Either, you know, so what the amendment does, Mr. President, is say that the prosecuting attorney shall consider and that they shall make that consideration after consultation with the defense. That's what we do. Ask for your favorable consideration.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Christensen.
Mr. President, the sponsor of the amendment did share with you the first part of the amendment where it talks about consider. But this is really a game changer. This changes the duty of the job here as outlined. When you look at this statute, it's the prosecutor's job that we're talking about. And the first part of the amendment talks about considering. And that's one thing. But the second part of this amendment on page 2, line 6, deletes prosecuting attorney determines and inserts attorneys or prosecuting. And this really changes who has control and who's making the decision. And that's already established in law, who has control and who makes the decision. It's the prosecutors. This changes the whole program and all of a sudden allows the defense attorneys to start to determine what happens on cases with evidence. And this is a very significant change. And people would say it's not, it's just good common sense, but it really does change it. Remember, the people, this bill is here for the victims, the witnesses, folks who have had their property held in evidence, and there may not be a clear suspect at that point. And all of a sudden, we're writing in language that says attorneys or prosecutors or self-represented, and it just is a big game changer. I'd urge you strongly to defeat this and recognize the intent of the bill and also that this is a major change in the statute.
Discussions on the amendment. Senator Perkins.
On, and I believe for the amendment, the take what was just said by our good chairman of judiciary and then put it in the context of lines 11 through 14. And so what you've got down here in lines 11 through 14, we're talking about property subject to evidentiary analysis and property of which ownership is disputed should not be subject to the provisions providing for use of photographs and this evidence in lieu of the property. So keep that in mind. What you're doing here is when you is making a determination about when the property can be photographed, returned to the defendant or returned to the witness or the victim. In that case, if you have a prosecuting attorney or if you have a defense attorney, you want to make sure that that property's been examined. If it's think of examples of DNA or if there's destructive testing or we talked about intervals, so maybe. You may need to do some analysis on what exactly is in that property. So there may be a number of reasons why photographic evidence or other things that may not be sufficient for the defense. And so it seems to me that in our jurisprudence and making sure that we observe the fair play that we want to see in our courts, you can't just leave it on one side to determine whether or not a photograph is sufficient, because you've got to ensure that both sides have the opportunity, equal access, an opportunity to examine and test, if necessary, the evidence to determine whether it's important and can be returned or whether the actual evidence, the actual property needs to be present and available for further testing. Or actually, there may be those instances where the only evidence or they're significant to have the actual property there because of certain things that arise that can arise from time to time. So I ask you to think about this in a favorable light, in that you want to make sure that both sides have equal access to the evidence and to determine what can be what evidence and what that means and how the evidence can be interpreted in light of the facts of the case.
Discussion on the amendment, Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. President. And as you all know, and I'm often reminded, I'm not an attorney, but My question here would be, and it really is, I think I'm standing on and against this amendment. Both sides have equal power in this to decide whether that evidence can be taken to a picture, a photograph, and then given back to the witness or the victim. But aren't they both coming from two different directions? So are we defeating the purpose of the bill by letting them both consult on this and one not? And so the eventuality of this is that the evidence will always stay in the locker, and so the bill is pretty well useless.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and for the amendment, folks, there is such a rule of laws, which basically is what is the best evidence. And so what this amendment does is to say, first of all, if you're going to photograph something or whatever, you should have an opportunity to inspect it, see what it is. It may be the best evidence for production at time of trial. And simply having a prosecutor decide these things without the defense having any say in the matter seems to me to affect one's due process rights. So, quite frankly, the court is the one who decides what is admissible or not. And those of us who have been in the practice of law for a long time, sometimes we think something is admissible, and sometimes we don't, and we go to the court, and sometimes you lose, and sometimes you win. I mean, it depends on the facts of the case. But all this is saying is, look, if we're going to decide what's going to be returned back, the defense at least ought to have an opportunity to inspect and to perhaps object if they think that whatever it is the best evidence for production to a court or to a jury. That's all this is saying. It doesn't really change things. And I think it's important that we preserve those kinds of due process rights.
Further discussion, Senator Meyer.
Briefly, I would think, too, that if you have a picture of something and at a subsequent date there's some exculpatory DNA test that may or may not occur at a subsequent date that would prove the defense's case or at least lead to a reasonable doubt in some situations, that a photograph isn't going to be able to provide that subsequent testing. So it could very well may be that letting the prosecutor make that decision is going to hinder the defense, I think, in a way that's gosh, I just don't think it's Perry Mason, Mr. Chairman, Mr. President.
But at that.
Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's 14208A, which is not on the bill that you see. It says the victim and witnesses have the right to have any personal property which is not contraband promptly returned. That's what this new language in B is really addressing. Now, to the concerns that have been raised that a defendant or a defense attorney won't have a chance to be in the conversation, if you look at the very first line of the new language, 60 days. 60 days to participate in the process, to take a look at it and see what's going on, and that's a reasonable amount of time. To turn and then give the authority of how the property is dealt with, as I said, it's a significant change. No prosecutors that I ever worked with would look for opportunities to get rid of, release, hide, or anything else with evidence. That's just not the way it goes. It calls then the whole case into question. There's opportunities here for inspection, for suggestion, for consultation, to participate the way this is written now. Think back about A. The victims and witnesses have the right to have their personal property returned. That's what this does. This sets the stage. And when you give the power of refusal to a defense attorney, his motivation is never going to be the victims or witnesses. His motivation is always going to be able to hold every piece as long as he can hold it that may at some point in the life of that case do something. And it's the victims and witnesses that quite often are being re-victimized. They may not be able to get the tools of their trade back, have the use of their property. That's where the change is. I'd strongly urge you to defeat the amendment.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm just searching for kind of a basic fairness here, Mr. President. It seems like defense should be involved in deciding whether, helping to decide whether evidence should be returned. That's a basic principle of our court system, that you have access to evidence, you can question witnesses. This is the same thing. Now, Mr. President, I'm not persuaded by the 60 days. My experience in criminal cases, not directly, I assure you, but tangentially, has been that they're frequently victims, not victims, that was a misspeak, defendants waive their rights to a speedy trial. It happens all the time because it's part of the, courts are bogged down, takes a long time, there's other plea arrangements going on, and so that frequently happens. I think this is going to be a common sense thing. Okay, somebody stole a motorcycle, okay? The question is, do we need to retain the motorcycle or can we retain use a picture of it? And if the attorneys get together and say, we're not denying that motorcycle was stolen, for example, or we don't have to do extensive DNA, there'll be reasons why that motorcycle could be returned, but both parties kind of need to agree. On the other hand, Mr. President, it just does come down to the fact that if there is a reason in providing for the defense that they need to have the evidence actually be there, I agree it's hard on victims and it's hard all the way around. But our Constitution gives us the right to have an examination of the evidence against you. And I think that's why we require this consultation. I appreciate your favorable vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
The question is on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill number 6. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The amendment has passed. We're back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? There being none. The question is, shall the bill be read for a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. House Bill number 29, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 29, Revisers Bill.
House Bill 29, no amendments, no objections, no discussion. Having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 50, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 50, Appropriation for the Legislature.
No amendments or discussion. House Bill 50, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill number 53, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 53, Special Districts Task Force.
We have an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill number 53, second reading amendment number 1 to engrossed copy, page 2 after line 19.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 53 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. This is the amendment, Mr. President, I was discussing about yesterday about having the task force enlarged by 1, having some type of representative from the mineral extraction industry. A lot of our districts out there around the state, some of the major contributors to those districts and that revenue is our mineral extraction industry. They don't vote in the general elections or the primaries, and as these districts are formed and created, but they certainly ought to have a voice at the table as we try to set sideboards and some controls over these districts to get them reined in somewhat. And so that was the intent of the amendment, and I'd ask for the body's favorable consideration.
You've heard the question, the amendment. We're on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 53. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, a mo. That amendment has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? House Bill 53, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 81, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 81, Drug Court Surcharge.
There are no amendments, no discussion. House Bill 81, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 95, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 95, Abandoned Gift Certificates and Value Cards, Sunset Repeal.
House Bill 95, no amendments or discussion. Having been read two separate times, the question is, shall be read a third time, hearing no objection, and so ordered. House Bill 97, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 97, Wolf Depredation Compensation.
No amendments or discussion. House Bill 97, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 114, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 114, Public Assistance Eligibility.
No amendments or discussion. House Bill 114, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 117, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 117, Pesticide Applicator Certification Program Funding.
No amendments or discussion. House Bill 117, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 118, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 118, Foster Care and Permanency Additional Requirements.
There are no amendments, no discussion. House Bill 118, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 140, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 140, Attorneys at Law Amendments.
No amendments or discussion. House Bill 140, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We're at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, we do have a consent list, and I move the third reading consent list, which is as follows. House Bill 8, Property Assessment Test Rules. House Bill 11, Energy Producing States Coalition Extension. House Bill 13, Public Records, Student Communications. House Bill 19, Statewide Student Assessment. House Bill 27, Legislative Oversight. House Bill 30, Obsolete Laws. House Bill 36, Livestock Dealers. House Bill 41, Omnibus Water Bill Construction. House Bill 43, Concealed Weapons, Military Applicant. House Bill 57, Upper Payment Limit Program, Private Hospitals. House Bill 58, Human Trafficking, Forfeiture of Property. House Bill 74, Upper Payment Limit Program, Public Nursing Homes. House Bill 76, Designated Caregiver. House Bill 77, Electronic Assessment Forms. House Bill 80, Community College Budget Request Recalibration. House Bill 84, Catering Permits. House Bill 87, School Finance Non-Resident Attendance. House Bill 130, Juvenile Detention Facility Definition. And House Bill 137, Controlled Substances Disposal.
Could you read that again?
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, could you request that House Bill 19 be removed from the consent list, and then if the Minority Floor Leader would come up here.
Mr. President, I would request that House Bill 19 be removed from the consent list.
Thank you.
You want me up there, too?
No, that's fine. I just wanted to speak with the minority. No, right now, if you would, please. What I'd like you to set it back. I'd like you to set it back a day. I'll tell you why. Would any of the members like any of the bills removed from the third party or from the third third party complaint from the consent list? There being none, having been read three separate times, the question is: shall these bills pass the Senate? House Bill 8, Property Assessment Test Rules. House Bill 11, Energy Producing States Coalition Extension. House Bill 13, Public Records Student Communications. House Bill 27, Legislative Oversight. House Bill 30, Obsolete Laws. House Bill 36, Livestock Dealers. House Bill 41, Omnibus Water Bill Construction. House Bill 43, Concealed Weapons Military Applicant. House Bill 57, Upper Payment Limit Program Private Hospitals. House Bill 58, Human Trafficking and Forfeiture of Property. House Bill 74, Upper Payment Limit Program Public Nursing Homes. House Bill 76, Designated Caregiver. House Bill 77, Electronic Assessment Forms. House Bill 80, Community College Budget Request Recalibration. House Bill 84, Catering Permits. House Bill 87, School Finance Non-Resident Attendance. House Bill 130, Juvenile Detention Facility Definition. House Bill 137, Controlled Substances Disposal. Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
On the consent list, Anderson? Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Boner?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Platern?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Nicholas?
Aye.
On the consent list, 30-I. House Bill 8, are there any changes?
Scott, no.
Scott, aye to no.
Perkins, no.
Perkins, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 8, 28-I, 2-no. House Bill 11, are there any changes? Closing. Christensen, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Perkins, aye to no. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 11, 27, aye, 3, no.
Too late. House Bill 13.
House Bill
13. I think Senator Perkins screwed up the voting machine.
House Bill 13, are there any changes? Bebout, aye to no. Anderson, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 13, 28, aye, 2, no. House Bill 27, are there any changes? Closing vote. closing. Vote closed. House Bill 2730I. House Bill 30, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 30, 28, aye, 2, no. House Bill 36, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 36, 30I. House Bill 41, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 41, 30I. House Bill 43, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 43, 30I. House Bill 57, are there any changes? Case aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 57, 29 aye, 1 no. House Bill 58, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Bebout, aye to no. Barnard, aye to no. Ross, aye to no. Dockstetter, no. Kinski, aye to no. Coe, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 58, 22-I, 8-no. House Bill 74, are there any changes? Case aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 74, 29 aye, 1 no. House Bill 76, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 76, 30 aye. House Bill 77, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 77, 30-I. House Bill 80, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 80, 30-I. House Bill 84, are there any changes? Case conflict, Driscoll conflict. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 84, 28-I, 2, conflict. House Bill 87, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 87, 30-I. House Bill 130, are there any changes? Meyer, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Case, aye to no. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 130, 28-I, 2-no. House Bill 137, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 137, 30-I.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bills 8, 11, 13, 27, 30, 36, 41, 43, 57, 58, 74, 76, 77, 80, 84, 87, 130, and 137 have all passed the Senate. House Bill 19, Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, I'd ask that House Bill 19, Statewide Student Assessment, be laid back for one day for consideration on third reading tomorrow, March 2nd.
Without objection, House Bill 19 is laid back for one additional day. House Bill 51, we have amendments, or second reading. Let's back up that. So House Bill 51, third reading of the bill.
House Bill 51, Local Government Distributions, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to local government funding.
House Bill 51, we have amendments. Third reading amendment number one, Senator Meyer, do you wish to have that moved?
Yeah, Mr. President, I'd wish to lay that back till the end in favor of another amendment that I believe does a better job. But
without objection, third reading amendment one is laid back for further consideration until another amendment has been considered. Third reading amendment number two, Senator Kinski.
Next week.
Mr. President, I'd like that amendment laid back.
Third reading amendment number two is laid back till final consideration. Third reading amendment number three, Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'd like to have that one laid back.
Without objection, third reading amendment number three is laid back for further discussion. Third reading amendment number four, Senator, would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill 51, third reading amendment number 4 to engrossed copy, page 1, line 14.
Senator Wasserberger.
Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 51. And members of the Senate, You know, having served on the Joint Appropriations Committee, I felt very strongly that taking $90 million from the Legislative Stabilization Reserve account was about as much money as we should spend. And when we consider the last few days of the session, I think it's imperative that you send your conference committee with some chips. And moving to $105 million does not give us any chips at the end game. And so I think we're sending our conference committee into a gun battle with the House with a knife, and my dad always taught me not to do that. Right now, we're currently spending about $220 million from the LSRA. I think that's too much. And when we first came down here as a committee, we wanted to keep ourselves at a 2% burn rate on the rainy day fund. And we're about between 8 and 9% on that fund. And I believe that in the years in the future, we're going to need every dollar that we can from LISRA. And one of the things that the good legislator from Albany County, who is now our president, taught me was that you need to be careful when you spend money from savings, because it's essentially a double whammy. Not only do you spend that money, but you don't ever get the interest income off of that money. And so I really felt that yesterday when we looked at the Craig report, Goldenrod, that is done on $42 a barrel oil, and we're at $32. And gas was much higher. We're underneath $2 MCF. I think that our revenue stream is much less than what we think it is. And so I know that we debated this heavily on Committee of the Whole. I was in the chair at the time. But I would urge you to think about returning to the original amount of funding that the Joint Appropriations Committee did.
House Bill 51 will be treated like a budget bill, and this will require a roll call. Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Scott.
Well, Mr. President, recall the discussion we had in Committee of the Whole. We've got to set some priorities. What activities, government activities, impact your local citizens, the people that elect you most? It's the activities of these local governments. That's the services that people really need. They're taking quite a decline. Like everybody else, they don't have the kind of reserves to buffer themselves that we do. We've adopted over the years a number of policies that prevent them from accumulating that kind of reserves. You know, it's unfortunate that this was structured such that we couldn't find a funding source, because this bill is just the funding for the cities and counties, even though I would maintain to you that is a part of the overall operating expenses of the government. We're taking care of our political subdivisions and their operating expenses. So I would urge you to stick with the position that we adopted in Committee of the Whole. I think it's the right priorities. I don't like the extra spending it caused. It caused, if you recall the discussion from yesterday, it'll cost us about a half a year in terms of the burn rate and our reserves. They only last 9.5 years, and they really ought to last 10. But there wasn't a good remedy available for that, the way it was structured this year. We can remedy that in the future, but not this year. So I would urge the Senate to stay with the position that we adopted. If we get it right, who cares about chips for conference committee. If we get it right, maybe we don't need one.
Senator Anderson.
Against the amendment, the cities and counties are taking decreases in their funding from all sources, and we shouldn't be one of them. On and against the amendment.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and for the amendment. Folks, I urge you to consider the heavy lift that the Joint Appropriations Committee did throughout the interim with regard to our burn rate and what we saw as fiscally prudent in terms of our budget and how we move forward into the future. It's one thing to think about today, and I do not disregard the need to cities, towns, and counties. But I think that in the end, a more gradual glide path is the way to go. I'm afraid that if you pass this and move this on, we're just building ourselves a bigger and a deeper financial hole. Now, that's the body's choice, and the good tall senator from Natrona County was absolutely right yesterday when he talked about the decisions that we are making affect our overall plan to keep this within a 10-year window to ensure that we have a burn rate that is appropriate. We spent long and hard on this, and I suggest that that you stay with the JAC position.
Mr. Minority Floor Leader, if you come forward, Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, on for the amendment. The tall senator from Bates Creek did point out that this is the money that is spent close to the people, but actually most of the money we spend is close to the people, depending on what their needs are. And the fact is we're cutting back on everything. We're cutting back on everything that we can. Schools, when in fact $105 million is the supplement they got last year. I'm trying to understand why cities and towns are being held harmless compared to every other agency and every other function in this government. Yes, they got less money from their other sources of income. So did we. I don't know if anybody here has noticed that. But this is money that we're going to be giving them in the next couple of years, and we need to have it to give to them.
Thank you, Senator Burns. Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Folks, on and for the amendment. You know, we set out and we adopt a plan of austerity, and we're looking at requiring austerity in programs that, frankly, will hit you closer at home than anything your cities, towns, and counties can do. Department of Health, your community-based programs, your Medicaid services, which influences hospitals, the cost of hospitals. In the end, the LSRA is not being preserved for any particular purpose other than operating government, which includes your programs that influence and affect your communities heavily, your Title 25 programs. If you go back and look at the chart, you can see exactly the programs that are affected. And they will affect you at home and close to homes. Cities, towns, and counties do have capacity to raise revenues. They have sewer rates. They have water rates. They have the 5% extra sales tax. They have the 6-penny tax. They have a number of tools available for them to adjust, and they're going to have to find those adjustments. But, folks, when you set out to the task of asking your Appropriations Committee to do the tough job, to set a template and objective where you're going, and they require austerity, certainly it's easy to come down and say, well, I need to do one more thing from my locals. And in this case, I can go home if I achieve another $10 or $15 million. But that money is money that will go to them later. It will go, we've always been generous in our surpluses with local government, and we'll continue to be generous with them. But pacing these dollars out, requiring austerity, requiring everybody to begin to tighten their belt is part of the overall process. JAC, on a consultation with the governor and when his recommends, set the target. And there comes a time when your entire budget, you adopt and hold to your JAC positions and recognize that they did the tough bill or the tough priorities, and they were good priorities. And you don't change significantly that which's going to local government, but the austerity measure ought to be applied evenly. And in this regard, these are extra dollars that we've given to the communities, and we're taking a large step to say that we're going to use the LSRA for local governments. I can tell you that when we began this process, it was never intended that the LSRA would be for use of local governments. The original agreement was, after de-earmarking, was that when we had higher revenues, we would give the communities a percentage of that. And the more the surplus, the last dollars in, they got the highest dollar out. And the last dollars in 2008, they got almost all of the top of the surpluses, if you remember that chart. And for a long time, they weren't getting these dollars. They were only getting them till surpluses. Now what we are doing is paying them a portion of the surpluses that we put in reserve from prior years. We ought to stay the course, insist on austerity. Everybody does their fair share. JAC came up with a good proposal. I urge you to support their recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. President. Additional discussion. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Minority Leader. I'm an against amendment, and I do believe that it was understated as far as our financial position, as far as where we're going to be. I think we're going to walk in the next biennium somewhere between $300 to $400 million in the hole from where we are right now, just because of the I think it's the rose-colored glasses that we're wearing and looking at our Craig report and looking at the reality. Reality is that the prices stay where they are, we're $300 to $400 million in the hole. And but that being said, Mr. President, I know that municipalities and the counties have taken a cut in the consensus to start with. I think that was $70 million. True, the $105 is the same direct distribution. There's no cut in direct distribution, but don't forget that they had, $70 million on top of that on consensus. And then, Mr. President, if we look at it from the standpoint of the budget, is that this distribution, as far as where the cuts occurred, wasn't equal. It wasn't equal. Some communities fared a lot better in this budget than other communities. But this particular $15 million, it spread out equally around the whole state. And so everybody shares in that equally. And I've told my local cities and towns and counties is that, you know, look out, guys, because that second distribution isn't guaranteed. So we might have it in there, but if we come back next year and we're a couple hundred million in the hole, you know, that's still on the table. So we can make this distribution here, but realize that we come back in and we're really down in the hole where I think we might be, that people are going to be looking toward that. They're going to be looking at every pot that there is out there. But, Mr. President, I think this is the right thing to do right now is to defeat this amendment and move forward at $105 million. And we're going to have to make some tough decisions. I think the folks that are going to be left on this floor are going to be able to make those tough decisions, and they're going to be presented to us in a way that's not going to be very palatable. But we can buckle down and we can work together and we can get the job done. And, Mr. President, I think that the fair thing to do, because the cities and towns and counties have taken that same 20, 30, 40% hit that the state has taken in their revenues. So they're going to make some choices that are going to be pretty hard. They're going to be laying off people, and they're going to be giving people pink slips. It's not going to be through attrition. They're going to have to do pink slips even with the $105 million. And so this gets them into the phase of just making sure that they understand that they know they have to issue the pink slips. When we come back in the supplemental, we're probably going to have to be doing the same thing because we don't have the number of people that are going to time out of our government. And we're going to make some tough decisions. Counties and cities are making tough decisions now because they're firing people that have jobs. So let's do the $105 million. It's easing them into their pain and realizing that in the future, we're all going to share the pain. Thank you, Mr. President.
Any further discussion before the sponsor takes the second time? If not, Senator Wasberger for your second and final time. Let me catch your microphone. I apologize. You're good.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think we all know the issue here. But to me, it appears that if we're $300 million short on the general fund side and $350 million short on the school foundation side, that amounts to $1 billion. And LISRA is $1.8 billion. In the next biennium, we could spend up a huge majority of that savings. And we've talked this enough, and so I call the question.
The question having been called for, the question is on third reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 51. Roll call.
Anderson?
No.
No. Barnard?
No.
No. Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
No.
No. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
No.
No. Coe?
No.
No. Cooper?
No.
No. Kraft?
No.
No. Dockstetter?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
No. Emmerich?
No.
No. Escobel?
No.
No. Geis?
No.
No. Hastert? No. Hicks?
No.
No. Johnson?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
No.
No. Meyer?
No.
No. Pappas?
No.
No. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Ross?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
No.
No. Von Platern?
No.
No. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Nicholas?
Aye.
Aye.
Case, no to aye.
Case, no to aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 8 aye, 22 no.
Third reading amendment number 4 has failed. We're on third reading amendment number 5. If the reading clerk would please read in the amendment.
House Bill 51, third reading amendment number 5 to engrossed copy, page 1, line 14.
Senator Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 51. We've just debated this. This is $97.5 million instead of the $105 million. I think we know the issue, and I call the question.
Any further discussion? The question hasn't been called. We're back to Senator Scott.
Mr. President, ditto all the same arguments.
The question having been called in the absence of discussion, roll call on third reading amendment number 5.
Anderson?
No.
No. Barnard?
No.
No. Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
No.
No. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
No.
No. Coe? Aye. Cooper?
No.
No. Kraft?
No.
No. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
No.
No. Emmerich?
No.
No. Escobel?
No.
No. Geis?
No.
No. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
No.
No. Johnson?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
No.
No. Pappas?
No.
No. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Ross?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
No.
No. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Nicholas?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Driscoll, no to aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 12 aye, 18 no.
Third.
104.
<104. laughs> third reading amendment number. Third reading amendment number 5 is failed. We're on the third reading amendment number 6 to House Bill 51. If the reading clerk would please read the amendment 10. This is the Rothfuss, Meyer, Kinski, and Bebout amendment.
House Bill 51, third reading amendment number 6 to engrossed copy, corrected copy. Delete the, page 2, line 6.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 6 to House Bill 51 and ask the body for favorable consideration. Mr. President, we've got several models moving around. Obviously, we had the original distribution model that I think people are familiar with. We have the Madden model that we've seen distributions of, and this goes in and amends the Madden model in a way that provides for a hardship distribution. And, Mr. President, what I'd like to do is point out a couple of figures that the body has. The first one is a lot of you have seen this very large spreadsheet that includes all of the different distributions, amendments included. This was put together by our Association of Municipalities and was corroborated against the various models that we've seen put forward. So to the best of our understanding, this data is accurate and correct for each of the municipalities. At the same time, Mr. President, I'm going to walk through a little discussion of this simple graph, which describes, it allows me to quickly explain how this hardship distribution that is being proposed in the third reading amendment number 6 operates. So, Mr. President, as a bit of background, the amendment is going to go in the first few lines and basically restore things back to the Madden formula, the Madden amendment that came over from the House. It takes it back to that system as the basis, and then it's going to further amend that Madden distribution using a hardship formula. So to explain how the hardship formula works, what would end up happening is, per this proposed amendment, 10% of the distribution that would otherwise go through the Madden formula is initially set aside. That amount then is going to be distributed through through the hardship formula. It's around $5 million based on the amount of money that we're looking at right now per year. One of the problems that folks have raised with the previous hardship formula is that there's a steep cliff effect. So there are some hardship entities that benefit, and then the next one over on the chart, so to speak, does not benefit, and that ends up creating disparities and inequities in the model, and that's one of the criticisms that needed to be overcome. So, Mr. President, in putting together this algorithm, one of the key concepts was to come up with a system that had no cliff effects. It moved all of the affected hardship communities along a smooth curve without having any of them leapfrog the others. And the way that's done, if you now look at the chart, the simple, we'll call it a Schiffer chart that we have here, you can see an original distribution would be the blue dots. And this is just arbitrary, random data that I put together to show how the hardship distribution works. So the blue dots going into the orange dots moving to the upper right would represent some type of a distribution. This amendment goes in and selects the mean of that per capita distribution, where that per capita distribution is calculated based on the sales and use tax per capita distribution for each of the communities. To that, the Madden distribution of the 90% would be added, and then you would basically rank all of the communities in the state, the 99 municipalities, and determine which of those is the median, where the median is the middle, the middle point of that distribution, and what their per capita distribution is going to be after the 90% of the Madden formula. So you have a distribution. You've got the high per capita municipalities at the top. You've got the low per capita municipalities at the bottom. And then you've got that midpoint, which we see, which is sort of the blue X that you see on this hypothetical demonstration chart. Well, any municipality under this proposed amendment that is below the median is going to benefit from the hardship distribution. And they're going to benefit proportionately based on how much they need to move to the median. So what that means is if you look at the chart, you see that point number one on the far left, the blue point, has an awful long ways to go to get up to the median point. Whereas the point number seven, which is just to the left of the median, doesn't have very far to go. So based on a pro rata share of the distribution that's available, for example, the $5 million we're talking about of the 105, you are going to pay your way of shifting uniformly all of those municipalities that are below the median towards the median line. So as an extreme case, if you fully funded the hardship, all of the communities that are below the median would be moved to the median. So it would be equitable down there. But with a 10% distribution, which is proposed, that doesn't happen. We end up moving them about a third of the way towards the median. So the hardship distribution pushes all of them uniformly towards that median. The further away you are from the median, the more push you need. But it does not allow any community to leapfrog the other communities. And it happens, Mr. President, in a proportionate manner. So, Mr. President, what this does is try to move those communities that have the lowest per capita revenue, even after the Madden distribution, up towards that median to bolster them while trying to minimize the sacrifice from above the median and try to provide that same type of hardship approach that we had in previous years while not having any type of steep cliff effect or any penalty for not being included in the proportionate distribution below the median. Mr. President, that's the amendment. I can walk through it, but basically what this does is lay that same concept of math out. One of the key points you see on page one.
You've reached your time.
I've reached my time. Is that it's a 10% distribution of the overall amount. The rest of it is simply the math to indicate what I said. I hope the body will support this as a nice compromise. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Scott.
Well, and Mr. President, this being third reading and something a little new, I'm still puzzling my way through it. But it seemed to me that the point in a number of these things was to try to reach some of the smaller communities and try to help them because they're probably going to have the most difficult time adjusting. And as I read these charts, I've got three smaller communities and one larger one in my district. The larger one gets hurt all right. I'm not particularly surprised about that. But the three smaller ones get hurt too, as near as I can tell. So maybe I'm confused about something, but I don't think this formula is ready for prime time, and I think that's why we haven't seen a consensus that I'm aware of out of the cities on this. And I think we'd be better off sticking with the bill as it is right now, Mr. President, against the amendment.
Discussion? Further discussion? Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. On against the amendment, the Bates Creek senator said, this changes the distribution at the very last moment. We are for leaving it alone. The cities came out and wanted to leave the distribution alone. They did not vote for the Madden distribution, so we want to leave it alone on and against the amendment.
Mr. Minority Floor Leader, if you'd come forward. Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Landon.
Mr. President, thank you. I'm kind of like my tall friend from around the corner in Natrona County. I'm still trying to track all of this. I certainly don't blame my good friend from Laramie. If I were there, I'd probably be proposing this as well. But you know, up home, I've kind of highlighted each of those that I represent, and not surprisingly, they're all taking a pretty good hit. I just wanted to point out to the body that that we do have two or three communities out there that are impacted greatly by the energy industries, and we haven't felt all the impact yet. That's coming, and I think that our secondary support industries are going to begin to feel that. And we might as well talk about where that is. That's Campbell County, Natrona County, Sweetwater County. That's where we're going to take the hit, and already have. And so what this does, as near as I can tell, is that it shifts a lot of that funding where that impact is going to occur, and it doles it out to the southeast and elsewhere. And I would just remind folks that impact is coming to those communities that have generated the income that allows us to have this conversation. So I would urge the Senate to stick with the distribution formula that's been supported by the Association of Municipalities out there. We can certainly talk about something in the interim, but on a third reading amendment, I would say on and against. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Landon. Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, on and for the amendment, folks, this is not that complicated. You've already seen the Madden Amendment for what is 90% of the distribution. The Madden Amendment, becomes the basis for distribution, and it is a small community distribution model. If it was 15 years ago, I would have called it the small school distribution model. It actually helps out the lower populations, but what it does do is begin to say how we're going to deal with the hardship communities, and they do exist. And as pointed out by the sponsor of the amendment, even the 10%, when you apply it uniformly to all of the hardship communities, those hardship communities never get even close to the median spending for other communities. So while you might say, for example, that Natrona, the city of Casper, does better, more poorly than the city of Laramie, look at where Laramie starts per capita. Look at all the money you give to the city of Laramie, and they still don't even approach close to the city of Casper. Now, so with respect to the hardship, we've all recognized, at least for the last 10 to 12 years, there are communities, whether it be Goshen County, whether it be Niobrara, Washakie, or Albany County, that as a result of the lack of assessed valuation, simply never will have the capacity to achieve budgets anywhere close on a per capita basis than any other communities. And hardship is necessary for all of those communities, and all it does is help them get towards the mean. It never gets there. Now, when you look at the center part of the state, Natrona, it's perplexing. We know what the issue is. We know that they had a pretty strong assessed valuation coming in last year, and we suspect in the next year the assessed valuation would drop. And that's true for it's not true for all other communities. You take the assessed valuation for the city of Laramie, Goshen County, the communities there, or Washakie, they're not going to experience that because they never had high assessment valuations to begin with. They've always had low assessed valuations. So the communities that get affected on a sudden drop of assessed valuations are the ones that in and of themselves begin with a high assessed valuation because of minerals. And Casper, and as well as Natrona County, will in fact see strong declines in their assessed valuation. I submit if you will come back next year, maybe you run the formula again based upon the assessed valuations for this year. You can do that. But no matter how you look at it, these hardship communities, in fact, never enjoy the resources, and yet they're running governments just like they don't enjoy the resources that the other communities do with minerals, but they still have to run the same services, They have the same courthouses. They have the same highways. They have the roads. And for the community of Laramie, they provide services for one of the larger state institutions without any tax revenue. Hardship is fair and it's appropriate. And what this model does is simply take the hardship component and distribute it through an algorithm so that it's fair and so that there are no shoulders, there are no cliffs, and it's a more fair distribution. I submit to you, hardship always belongs in the formula, and this is a better hardship formula than the past. I urge your support.
Thank you, Mr. President. Additional discussion? Senator Von Platen.
Hey, now it's Mr. President. So this is a question for the sponsor, if he wants to write this down for later. I'm just curious, we always have lamented the cliff factor in most formulas. If you had one person less or one person more, you would have gotten a whole lot more money out of the deal. So does your formula encompass that? Okay, that's what I need to know.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, President. On and for the amendment. And, folks, I'll tell you, I've got communities that are winners. I've got communities that are losers. There's no doubt about it. There's some of them in there that I thought that this formula would probably push it a little bit more in the direction that I'd like to see. But, Mr. President, it didn't. But I think that one thing that I can say is that I think that this is a fair formula, as the Madden formula is a fairer formula, and that it's a way that we can move past some of the huge cliffs. There are still a few bumps in the road, no doubt about it. But moving toward the future, we have to do more work on the hardship. Because, folks, at some point in time, a couple of years down the road, about the only thing we might be able to afford is a hardship. And that's something that we'll have that discussion a couple, 3 years from now. But, Mr. President, I think for the time and place right now, I think this is a good compromise between the Senate position and the House. And, frankly, I think the House will accept this. And I'd just soon pack up and get down the road without a lot of conference, Mr. President. And I ask everybody to vote for it.
Senator Driscoll.
Mr. President, on and opposed, thank you. A lot of good points made both sides on this. I would point out that this doesn't benefit the small towns at all. It is not benefiting the small towns. If you look down the list, the poorest county, the county seat, is one of the biggest losers in this. This does not reach where we're coming to. We have out in our audience the people that represent our counties and our towns, and they've told us what we wanted. Every one of you knows it. They've got to us and said, this is what we want, and it's not this amendment. They want the bill left the way it was. We've come in at the 11th hour, and we're trying to fine-tune something by pushing each other back and forth, looking up and down a spreadsheet. The best and easiest way to do it is let's go with the bill the way it was done, that everybody, as far as our constituents, the people that they represent, say that's what they want. They do not want this. They don't want to change. I'll tell you, if you want to change it, we will be back next year and the year after messing with this formula. We've done it every year since I've been here. A third reading amendment, I remember getting hit really hard when I was a freshman about third reading amendments and the time that it takes and what you're able to really flesh things out. 30 minutes or an hour looking at amendments, not time for any of us to make really a good, honest decision on what we're doing. Let's go back to our position. Let's go what our cities and towns and our counties want. Let's do it the right way and come back next year and do the changes when we got some time to look at it. Thank you. On and opposed.
Senator Bebout, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Just a couple of things, and I appreciate the debate. First of all, the argument that it's coming in a third reading, we don't understand it. I don't buy that at all. You know, we had an amendment a year ago that was a good amendment, I thought, at a particular time, and that was the same argument that was used to defeat that amendment. And we come to this point now where we look at this particular amendment, and you know, when I look at the sheet, and I think the President makes a good point, those that receive the benefits now have been undervalued for a long time. So you can make a heck of an argument. I wish I could present that to this body about how the community has been undervalued. You look at rather large community in the southeastern part of the state, the undervaluation that has occurred there relative to those that are have tremendous mineral wealth, and they've been overvaluated. So there's a real compromise there that we see. The other thing, Mr. President, just to eliminate some of the comments that were made, as I understand it, WAM supports this. WAM supports this compromise amendment. Now, if I'm wrong, somebody jump up and say that, but that's my understanding that WAM supports it. So you have WAM supporting it. You look at the small districts, and I can't tell you why the districts in your community are negatively affected, but I can tell you most small districts in the state or small communities do better. So it's a compromise. It really seems to work, in my opinion, Mr. President. I would ask the body to support this. Yes, we will be back. And yes, these evaluations change. And yes, there will be a different look when we come back. We've chosen to spend about $105 million, which is $15 million more than a lot of us thought we had to spend, but we've chosen to make that decision. I'll support that decision. I'll support us spending $105 million, but let's do it in a better, more appropriate way, and that's what this amendment does. I ask you to support it, Mr. President.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, these are the handouts we've gotten on the distribution. This is just cities. And then the minority floor leader comes with this one. Makes me wonder what he's trying to overcompensate for.
Only Burns. Only Senator Burns can say.
Now, just so I understand this one, because I got confused by the comment from the senator from Devil's Tower. My understanding is the poorest county in the state is Niobrara. And the county seat there is Lusk. And according to this chart, it would, because I thought column 19 is how the Rothfuss Amendment affects them. The county seat of the poorest county in the state would actually make $11,000 up. So I guess my question, I think I'm for the amendment, but I want to make sure that I'm looking at the right thing.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I suspect that everybody's lined up and ready to get on the train here, but I do want to just take a little bit of exception to some of the arguments made. The argument that every city and town out there has the same services is just not true. I represent a part of the world that is greatly impacted by all of this energy development. And it impacts the roads, it impacts the streets, the social services, the bail fill, which is accepting now because of what we're doing on that front. We're accepting, things from all over the place. We receive all the pass-through to the Level 2 Trauma Center up there. Some of it comes from those outlying hospitals, contributes to our unreimbursed care. The activity out in the county on all of those roads out there requires us to hire more deputy sheriffs to take care of all of that activity. So it isn't the same, Yes, the valuation goes up, and yes, the argument could be made that the sales tax revenue is coming in right there. But so, too, are the impacts, Mr. President, on all of those services. So I just want to point that out, and again, on and against the amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment before the sponsor takes his last time. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just, I'm trying to understand this big handout. I think this amendment really deals with column 20.
Let's do this. I mean, just out of courtesy of Senator Ross, let's give Senator Rothfuss, I'm going to give you the privilege of the floor to describe which columns are affected so people can look at and make sure we're having the correct discussion. Which are the columns adopted?
Thank you, Mr. President. The column you want versus the status quo is column 19. 19 is versus what you have right now. If we were to go with the existing formula, that would be relative to column 19, Rothfuss versus that. 20 is versus the Madden formula, which was the House position. So 19 is the comparison to the current circumstance. 7 is what the Madden formula would get. 4 is what the existing would be. Actually, 3, my apologies on that. 3 is what it's compared to because that's an actual in fiscal year 15.
Okay, just,
thank you.
For the privilege of the floor, does everybody understand which columns apply to the amendment? Okay.
Yeah.
Say it one more time. Let's make sure everybody says yes.
So, Mr. President, just to clarify one more time, column 19, it says 105 Rothfuss 2 existing is a comparison between the result of this amendment to the current distribution formula.
What the amendment does entail?
The current bill, exactly, as the bill stands, correct.
All right. Back on the amendment. Senator Ross, do you have anything to add? Any further discussion on the amendment before the sponsor takes his second time? Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President, and all due respect to my good colleague here. And just a concern I have is we did adopt a Madden amendment for the counties and under the same kind of guidelines, and there's a lot of winners and losers there, and the resources that I'm looking at to some of the counties is going to be dramatically less. And you add these kind of formulas on top of it into kind of a double whammy. You know, I think that there might be some merit. There's some great charts and graphs here, but, you know, I'm leaning towards the idea that, or the notion that we should take a look at this through the interim before we do this to the cities and counties.
Further discussion before the sponsor takes the second time, final time. Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, and I'll just be brief as I look through this, and I think it's got a lot of merits, but when I go through and I represent more small municipalities than anywhere in the state of Wyoming. I've got 10 with less than a population of 400. And there's 7 losers and there's 3 gainers. Now, the losers don't lose a lot, but they lose. So I think it's headed in the right direction, but I'm a little concerned right now that maybe we need to take a little better look at this thing. I think it's headed in the right direction. But when you represent these little towns, you know, $3,000 or $4,000 is a lot of money when your total distribution from the state's $23,000 and you're losing $4,000 of that. So I think there's some equity in here, but right now I'm a little concerned with where we're headed.
Discussion on the amendment. There being none, we're back to the sponsor for his final discussion.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, on and for the amendment. And, Mr. President, you know, my entirety of my district represents just one municipality, and that comes out as a loser as a result of this amendment. I don't know if that was clear. We lose money, so I'm 0 for 1 on this particular one. If we're looking at it strictly from how does our municipality do, how do our constituents do, relative to without this amendment in place, my constituency loses. But what this does is provide a substantially better formula without the cliff effects. To address my friend from Campbell County, that there are no cliff effects. There are no shoulders. It's a smooth transition into the standard formula so that there is no substantial difference for one gain of person or one gain of dollar per capita exclusive of that. So the smooth transition is one of the key factors that's an advantage. The concept that we want more winners than losers is difficult from a fixed pie equation. I will not be able to come up with any algorithm where more dollars are produced through the application of that algorithm. Regrettably, that would have been, Mr. President, my first choice. Yeah, and if I come up with it, we'll get back to it. But the idea that this was simply a third reading amendment that was done ad hoc quickly in a back room is also not accurate. An awful lot of work went into the Madden formula, which is the basis of that months of work, and we've seen the results of that for quite some time. The hardship addition to it was, again, a substantial amount of work, and you can see that it's already well vetted. So in terms of support for it, there is support for the Rothfuss amendment to the Madden formula relative to the Madden formula. And I want to make sure that it's clear that that support does exist, that this is seen as a good way to push up those hardship communities. Now, there are many communities that will support and be in favor of the current distribution model. There will be many communities that would be in favor of the change, and we see it really comes down to probably what's on column 19. But as we're looking forward, trying to come up with a more equitable algorithm that's sensitive to changing conditions and has the proper response for hardship, this is a much better approach to what we have currently from a mathematical and algorithmic standpoint. Mr. President, I hope the body will support this amendment, and this is something that I think we can get a good compromise on with the other body. And that's one of the key concepts here, is being able to come to a compromise that everyone can agree with. I think this is one that we can get to agreement on, Mr. President. I urge the body to vote aye.
The question is on third reading amendment number 6 to House Bill 51. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
I think, did you want to call for the ayes and nays? We're going to call for the ayes and nays. Roll call on third reading amendment number 6.
Anderson?
No.
No. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
No.
No. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
No.
No. Co?
Aye.
Aye. Cooper?
Aye.
Aye. Kraft?
No.
No. Dockstader?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
No.
No. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Escobel?
Aye.
Aye. Geis?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
No.
No. Johnson?
No.
No. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon? No. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Ross?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Von Platern?
No.
No. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Nicholas?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 17 aye, 13 no.
By your vote, we have adopted third reading amendment number 6 to House Bill 51. Let's go back to the third reading amendment number 1. Senator Meyer.
I wish to withdraw that amendment at this time.
Without objection, third reading amendment number 1 is withdrawn. Third reading amendment number 2, Senator Kinski.
Mr. President, I wish to withdraw that amendment at this time.
Without objection, third reading amendment number 2 is withdrawn. Third reading amendment number 3, Senator Bebout.
Mr. President, I ask that be withdrawn.
Without objection, third reading amendment number 3 is withdrawn. We're now back on the bill. Discussion on the bill. The question having been called for, will the chief clerk please call the roll on third reading?
Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Co?
Aye.
Aye. Cooper?
Aye.
Aye. Kraft?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Von Platern?
No.
No. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Nicholas?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert? Aye to no. Bebout? Aye to no. Kraft? Aye to no. Closing vote? Closing Vote closed. 22 aye, 8 no.
House Bill 51, having received the affirmative vote of the majority members of the elected Senate, House Bill 51 has passed the Senate. Senator Pappas.
Yes, may I have the privilege of the floor, Mr. President?
You may.
Yes, today I have more members of my family visiting today, so I would like you to help me welcome my father and my mother, Andy and Theone Pappas.
All right, welcome. In the words of Senator Ross, he's a good son. What have we got going? We have some concurrences. Senator Emmerich.
Privilege of the floor.
You may.
Thank you. Tomorrow night, Wednesday, the Frontier Days Committee and the Old West Museum invites all of you to a reception, but to also preview the Western Spirit Art Show. This is a program that is very near and dear to my heart. I've never been able to get into the Western Spirit Art Show, and I've tried, but that still doesn't mean I don't like it. But on your desk, you will find a photograph called Western Spirit Art Show Legislative Preview Reception. On it is a photograph of a entry into the Western Spirit Art Show that was accepted and will be judged accordingly and probably sold tomorrow night. And it's by a member of our staff, LSO staff, in the office across the hall. And I think she deserves a great deal of accolades to get into this art show, and I would ask all of you, please, to attend if you can.
Thank you. We're at that order of business of concurrences. Senator Case, are you ready with respect to Senate File 37?
Yes, sir.
Would the reading clerk please read in the message?
Message number 225, referencing Senate File 37, Boards and Commissions Party Affiliation.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move message number 225 to Senate File, the concurrence request to Senate File 37, Boards and Commissions Party Affiliation. I ask the Senate to vote no. Mr. President, a lot of the discussion that we had about this bill is whether it was making things too partisan. And one of the strong points of the bill that we sent out, for those that, you know, agreed with it, was that we took several boards and made them completely nonpartisan. Our friends down the hall didn't see it that way, Mr. President, and they took two of the boards, one being the Wildlife and Natural Resource Trust and the other being the Parks and Cultural Resource Commission, and they returned those boards to requiring a partisan split on appointment. They adopted the basis of the 75% that was most of the way through the bill for other boards that were retained as partisan. And so, in addition, Mr. President, they went a little bit farther. There's one commission that's very important, and that is the Transportation Commission. The Transportation Commission is the subject of the bottom amendments here, as you can see on page 14 and 15, where there's a deletion from the bill. What we had in the bill, Mr. President, was that the Transportation Commission would have a 75% split. That was the typical split we had everywhere else. Our friends down the hall didn't see it that way. They returned it to the existing language for the Transportation Commission, which, as a seven-member commission, Mr. President, the language says not all from the same party. So the way that would be is that actually allows it to be up to 85% from the same party, and we had the breaks at 75%. So I would ask, Mr. President, that we defeat this concurrence request, and let's sit out at the table and see if we can come a little bit closer. Thank you, Mr. President.
The motion is that the Senate do concur with the House amendments to Senate File 37, Boards and Commissions, Party Affiliation, and you've been asked to vote no. Roll call.
Anderson?
No.
No. Barnard?
No.
No. Bebout?
No.
No. Boner?
No.
No. Burns?
No.
No. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
No.
No. Coe?
No.
No. Cooper?
No.
No. Kraft?
No.
No. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
No.
No. Emmerich?
No.
No. Escobel?
No.
Geis?
No.
No. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
No.
No. Johnson?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
No.
No. Meyer?
No.
No. Pappas?
No.
No. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
No.
No. Ross?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
No.
No. Von Platern?
No.
No. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Nicholas?
No.
No. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 30 no.
By your vote, you have failed to concur with the House amendments to Senate File 37, as reflected in Message 225. The Conference Committee for Senate File 37 is Case Chairman, Hicks, and Rothfuss. Does that clear the desk? Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move the Senate stand recessed until 2 p.m.
Announcement, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, your Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet in 15 minutes with our counterparts from the House, subject joint interim, in room Jonah S-19. Note the number S-19. It's different from the usual one.
Senator Cole.
Mr. President, Committee Number 4 will meet jointly with a like committee from the House to discuss interim topics today about 12:20 in Jonah Room L-54.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your Conference Committee on Senate File 45, Rural Health Care Districts Authority, will meet tomorrow, Wednesday, at 9 a.m. and 8:38 with the like committee from the other House.
Senator Boner.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Joint Conference Committee on Senate File 42, Occupational Therapy Practice Act, will meet immediately after noon recess today in S-27.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. As Chairman of the Capital Oversight Group, I'd like to invite all members of the Senate to a project briefing today at noon recess in Jonah L-51. There will also be a project briefing upon adjournment in the same room, L-51. It'd be a great opportunity for you to learn about where we're at on the Capitol Square renovation and rehabilitation. And we have representatives from our owner, representative, to present to you a briefing on that. Also, tomorrow, on noon recess and upon adjournment, there is a project tour of the Capitol and the Hersler Building. They begin on the noon recess. You would meet in room 1699. On adjournment, same thing, in room 1699. The meeting today is in room L-51.
Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Judiciary Committee Number 1 will meet at 12:15 House, down at House Room H-38 to continue our interim topic discussion, 12:15, 38.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee, number 8, Joint Transportation, will meet to discuss interim topics in Jonah Room 27 at 12:30 or immediately after the conference committee finishes their work, if it's after 12:30. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Senate members of the Select Committee on Tribal Relations will be doing interviews of Sergio Maldonado and Leslie Shakespeare at appointments for the tribal liaison position at 12:30. Following that, we'll join with our House members and discuss interim topics. And then tonight, upon adjournment, Mr. President, your Select Committee on Legislative Technology and Process will have the interim topics meeting that was scheduled for last night, but we moved it to today. Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Management Council will meet upon adjournment tomorrow, Wednesday, March 2nd, in L 54 to discuss interim topics and other items on the agenda. And also, Mr. President, we will do the appointments this afternoon, probably right after we get back, if that works for everybody. And I think that the Corporations Committee is the last one to have any kind of interview, so that's what we'll plan on doing.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor. You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Senate shall, that motion is adopted. The Senate shall stand in recess until 2 p.m.